Hi, I'm Nigel Baker, and you're listening to The Future Financial Advisor. We're running this podcast to create an avenue for advisors to share their thoughts and their best interests and really trying to attract those advisors who want to take the industry forward. What we want is great businesses who are really making a difference and really making a big impact to their clients, and we want to know how they're doing it. So in this series, we're going to be discussing the latest digital platforms, some best practices, evidence-based investing strategies. We want to give financial advisors the tools they need to help more investors improve their financial well-being. So if you're ready to take the industry forward, modernise your advisory practice and reach a new generation of investors and the new generation of advisors, then this show is for you.
So all our recordings and podcasts are general advice. All the content, all the people interviewing here, it's all their own opinions and all their own views. In no way does it constitute any personal advice or recommendations. If you need specific advice, please go and seek an advisor. Thanks very much. Well, welcome to today's podcast on the Future Financial Advisor. Now, through the Scientium business in the tech world, we've met lots of fascinating people. One of them is our guest today. It's Colin Weir. Now, Colin is the CEO and founder of Moroku. He's been involved in the tech industry for a few decades now. He's a great guy. He's very interesting. He's got some great insights on technology and how it can help improve people's lives. But I think you'll find it interesting if you're in the industry to work out, well, what's going on in the tech space? How are people like Cole making a difference? What are they trying to do? What are they seeing happening? And there's a lot going on once you scratch the surface, this tech space, and how it can help financial advisors and their clients. It's just some massive opportunities. So a big welcome to Cole, and thanks for his time. And I'm really sure you're going to enjoy listening to Cole today. So, hey, Cole, great to be here with you today. Thanks for being here.
Pleasure, man. Thanks for inviting me along.
It's really exciting to have you on board. I think the advisors are really going to enjoy listening to your story and where the industry is going from a tech point of view. Yeah. So one of the questions I'd like to ask first is, tell me about you. What's your story?
So I grew up in New Zealand. Maybe hence the name of the company, Moroku. I'll get to a little bit of that later on. Always had a passion for living outdoors and stuff. So grew up in the forest and ended up going to university to study forestry, both undergrad and postgraduate.
Oh, really? Wow.
And built my first computer program. Well, not my first one. Built my first commercial computer program at that point.
Yeah.
Built a computer model to model the New Zealand forests and the impact of management decisions on the economic value of the forests.
Wow.
And got a paper got published, and I got my postgraduate thesis off that, and then got invited to go to the UK to do my PhD work in that. So a data modeler is what I sort of became.
Right.
But ended up in London and funding ran out and not many trees. It was a bit of a surprise to a young fellow from New Zealand. ended up in banking, of which there was a lot. And just ended up, programming computers, and then ended up building my first startup in the late 90s when the internet just came, email was arriving. And we went around and tried to convince a few of the banks to, put their systems on the internet and turn everything inside out. And most of them told us we were mad, but a couple of them actually said that we thought we were right. And we ended up taking the world's 20 largest banks to the internet, Wells Fargo and Citi and Bank of America and Deutsche and Bank of Tokyo, Mitsubishi and everyone. And sold their business and then came back down here to build a financial services business for Netscape and then onto Microsoft. And then Moroku was formed, as I just wanted to get back into being an entrepreneur and getting back to the front of it. So that's kind of that's the story, really.
Well, I didn't know that you started off in forestry. I mean, you've gone from forestry to working with some of the biggest banks in the world.
Yeah. It's all just ecosystems, man, Yeah. And so, yeah, it's fascinating.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, at Scientium, we use your team and your business. It's been a fantastic experience to get us to where we are today. I mean, just before we go into that, I mean, you talk about your lifestyle and outside. You're on the Northern Beaches in Sydney. I saw on your LinkedIn profile that you cycled across Australia.
Yeah.
Another thing I didn't know about you.
Yeah, so, a few years ago, hey, Pupster. A few years ago, there was a really bad accident in the Sydney Harbour. There was a couple of kids got pretty badly hurt. We did a little, fundraiser for them, a little 24-hour cycle ride, like a bike-a-thon thing down in the southern parts of Sydney. And at the end of it, we said, well, what should we do now? And of course, we'd had a few beers and all the great ideas happened after a few beers. So he said, well, let's go and ride across Australia.
Wow.
Eight of us got together, trained for an entire year You know, by the time we got ready, we were doing like, I was done, I think I did that the week before we rode, I did 750Ks cycling in a week. So, you know, we're doing sort of over 100Ks a day, which is what you have to do. And then we rode across Australia as a relay. So a team of four. And so there's, you know, it's 4,200 kilometres across.
Yeah.
Divide that by four is 1,200, is, you know, that 42, did I get that right? 4,200. So it's 1,200.
Yeah.
Yeah, each, and then so you end up doing divide by seven about 150 kilometres a day, and you just get about your work. Wow. Have a little van sort of chasing us across, and then you do your 50 k's, hand over the bat, and have a rest, and then get on the other end, and then pick it up and and go. So yeah, it was amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, and ended up being this massive thing. Actually, it's turned up to be a massive charity of its own right called Tour Oz. Now that goes, you know, they do north to south and south to north and east to west and west to east and do a whole bunch of things.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, man. Yeah.
Wow. Living. Pretty cool. So we're going to just go back into the tech side of thing and through your journey working for big banks, businesses like ours. Yeah, give me a few more examples of people you've helped and sort of how you've helped. I mean, we see technology really is an enabler to be more productive and help more people or do more with less and all those sort of things. So, yeah, what are some of the examples of how you've seen massive change? I mean, when you started out, there's a lot more to go in the industry, but
there is.
You must have seen so much change in your career.
Yeah, it's been amazing, Nigel. You know, I think about that first startup we built in London and, you know, took the world's 20 largest banks to the internet. That was on the trade finance site.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out, you know, how do we plug finance into trade?
Hmm.
So letters of credit and, you know, financing and all of that sort of stuff, which was massive. And then you're figuring out how to plug that into, you know, shipping lanes and logistics and all that. So that was, I think that was, you know, that was pretty massive to allow, you know, the four corner model of banking to sort of come into play. But, you know, think about, and sort of I've done that lots, you know, and you know, I was involved in the, when Westpac was acquired by St. George through the reverse takeover a few years ago. We, you know, spent a lot of time in there sort of, you know, bringing those banks together, getting a lot of the integration work done and then rebuilding the digital platform for the new group and working with the executive on that. So, you know, and you know, around the world doing a whole bunch of things really, which has been quite good fun. And I think, you know, the way that I see it happens is that it started off being around this idea of, you know, we can reduce the cost to serve and we can give people access to their money 24/7. So that was kind of like the overarching idea back in the 90s. And, you know, over the course of the next 20 years, that's kind of just become the thing. Just continue to strip out cost, give people access to their money so they can access it 24/7 and use this idea of ease of use as a design paradigm. So as long as it's easy to use, then the customers won't ring us up and they'll get access to their money and we'll be able to, you know, improve the operational efficiency of the business, you know, replace people with robots, shut down branches, you know, and life will be better. And certainly, you know, what we've seen, you know, through that time is we've certainly improved operational efficiency of the bank, that, you know, the banks have got more profitable, you know, I mean, the profitability here, the top four banks are bottom line, $1,200 out of every man, woman and child in Australia. So, you know, it's good business. You know, some of the most profitable banks in the world are here in Australia, and certainly banks around the rest of the place are also profitable. And as a result of that technology, you know, there's been a lot of mergers go on, as we've seen a lot of industry consolidation happen, because the technology enables the merger to happen. It allows you to provide, you know, access to that single core back end and whatever. So, that, you know, it's been busy, you know. There's been a lot to do. But I think what we're seeing now, and it's certainly, you know, why I've built the business that I've built, is that we're seeing it move away from giving people access to their money, because that's largely all being done, right? I mean, there's still a little bit to go, and, you know, you and I are working on giving people more access to money and improving that onboarding. But the next phase to me looks about not only how do we give people access to their money, but how do we get people to feel and be better about their money? Because it's such an important part of wellness, money. I mean, people say, you know, money can't buy you love, and that's all rubbish, right? Because, you know, it might not buy you love, but it can certainly buy you a lot of happiness, and it certainly impacts how you feel. There's certainly a lot of mental illness that comes from people stressing about money and with, you know, the situation we're in at the moment with, you know, the cost of living crisis that we're seeing with all of the things we all know about. You know, there's certainly a shift from many of the stakeholders, both the regulators, the investors and the customers and the market, to move these solutions into helping people, you know, hopefully be better with their money, but certainly feel better with their money. This whole emotional piece is becoming quite paramount. And so that's where we see a lot of the activity now about providing the guardrails, the support, the encouragement, the empathy around that money inside of the digital experience to let people know that, you know, they're doing okay and there's a few other things they can do, insert some content, for example. So it's gone away from just an ease of use paradigm to something that's more all-encompassing around financial wellness and helping people be better with their money and providing that sort of end-to-end support for people with their money, whether that's in retail banking or business banking or whether it's in wealth or where it might be. So that's where you think the work to be done is. And when you do that, you'll build relationships with customers, you'll serve them better, you'll grow your business, and those that don't provide that as personalized digital experience will be left behind because they will pivot to those that provided that extra value.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why, you know, Sientian, when we came across you on the sidelines of Newport Junior Rugby Club, having a chat about, Kyle, I've got this problem. We're trying to work out this in our industry of trying to get people more access to the information. So, you know, I've been really amazed at how, you know, people have got money in superannuation, and it's compulsory. It's 10.5% of their salary.
Yeah,
and so over the 20 years of doing this, most people don't really know much about it, and they might get a bit of information from a TV ad or something someone's told them, but really they don't know much about it. And we're trying to convert that to say, hey, here's all the information. Like, you, let's make that information accessible. That's number one. That's, you know, Santium knowledge. Let's share that knowledge because it's really important. I mean,
it's really important.
The difference between, we all know, costs and all those sort of things and getting the right investment returns, crucially important. And it comes, you know, make a big difference if you start in the right place, but it's never too late. I mean, you could be 60 and still make a big difference in your future if you have the right structure and the right information.
Sure.
And for too long, the industry held on to that and kept it a bit private and said, hey, we're going to hold on to all this and you just trust us. Whereas I think that's broken down now and people are going, actually, I want to know. I want more and more people want to know it. But again, really hard to find the right information, really hard to know where to go and really hard to know how to connect you know, the right sort of advice and the right sort of information to the people.
Yeah.
So, you know, from those chats, you know, at 7 o'clock on a Friday night watching footy to a couple of years, I think we're starting to be part of that story.
It's amazing. We're doing some work with a big pension fund in the UK that are just trying to nail this exact problem, right? Because people are arriving at retirement ill prepared, right? And so we're breaking it down by segment to make sure that we've got personalised journeys for those segments to you know get them ready at the right time, whether they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, or even through to their 50s and 60s, and just making sure that they're, you know, that we're building that empathy, we're giving them the right pieces of content at the right time, and driving that motion because it's important.
So we're going out to advisors and consumers, but we're going out to advisors trying to explain this to them and say, you've got to be more relevant, you've got to have some more technology in your business to help more people. But there's a bit of fear out there. Why do you think advisors fear technology?
If I was to be controversial, which I wouldn't shy away from.
Say whatever you want on this.
I would say they don't fear it. It's not the technology they fear per se. It's their commercial models. It's their business models. So, you know, a lot of businesses have built, you know, great barriers around their business, right? Very, as you say, very closed, protected. Don't worry about it. I've got it. And so, you know, they're reluctant to do what we've been doing for 25 years, which is to turn those businesses inside out, like quite literally break those barriers down and expose all of those services and that knowledge, all that stuff to the internet. And, you know, that requires a lot of courage and it requires confidence. But, you know, as we say, if you don't do that, the customers will go to those that do because the people are doing it, right?
Absolutely.
And people value 24/7 access. They value, especially when the market's poppy like it is at the moment, people are curious, they want to know, right? So they want to get in there. So I think it's you know, like it's been for all of these businesses that we've worked with over the decades, is to help them understand that it might seem scary, but the growth and the scale opportunity by breaking down those barriers, by exposing those services on the internet and that data and all of those things, they can grow their businesses and scale and improve their operational efficiency, right? Do stuff with less errors and faster and all of those things and do the two things that we want to do, which is serve customers and make some money and do that at scale using robots.
Yeah. And we were talking about before too about how technology just isn't for the youngsters. You know, I mean, our own experiences, we've got 85-year-old clients who have probably, you know, text me more often than a 25-year-old client. But in your experience in seeing technology in the banks and financial services, I suppose for those advisors listening, like, yeah, who does it help? Does it should we just focus on the young people, or should we make it available to everyone?
Look, two things. You know, if you're not sure on who's using phones and the internet, just go and jump on a bus or a train and just do your own research and just scan up and down the aisles and see what people are doing. Yeah. And 95% of them are sitting on their phones.
Yeah.
Even driving along in cars, you know, whatever, the driver will be driving and maybe he's looking at his phone or not, but seeing the other person. So, like, that's the first thing, is everyone's on them. So don't, you know, this whole idea that it's just for the kids and the millennials or, you know, maybe the people in their 40s, it's done, right? Yeah. We're all on there.
Yeah.
The evidence is all there.
Yeah.
As I say, not, you know, we're all doing that. We're all playing games. We all need narcissistic feedback. You know, we all want to know, you know, we need to know we're doing all right. We need these constant gratifications. So, like, we're all in there now, apparently. That's what the data tells us. The second thing is that I've always had a view that businesses are there to, you know, serve customers and create value, right? That's why we exist, right? It's kind of it's value exchange. That's why you get money, right? It's an exchange for a service or a value. And as you said earlier, you know, customers across the spectrum from, you know, the newborn baby, right, where we open up a growth account for them and start thinking about their schooling and, you know, all of those things. So they need programs right the way down there. We need to start helping those kids at an early age. As soon as they can learn to count, we need to start teaching them about money and how it works and, you know, how it values. So, you know, right the way down that end, I think, you know, it's a good place to start.
Absolutely,
you know, and then all the way through to those very, very important years of not only pre-retirement, so I think, you know, that last 10 years, 50 through 60, 65, where, you know, you just have to turn the heat up on the savings, right? You need to, you know, consolidate your assets. You need to be clear about your income runway and you need to start getting your thing together.
Yeah.
And then post that, once all that income's dried up, all that working income's dried up, you then need to start thinking about how you're going to start, you know, turning those assets into income, right? And, you know, turning it into cash and funding your retirement and having a great life for all those years you worked. And that's complicated, right? And that's really complicated in this current environment.
Absolutely.
Though it should be less complicated with increased interest rates, right? So now you're getting, you know, like a couple of years ago, you're only getting a couple of percent points on a TD.
Zero.
Now you're getting, or zero. But now you can go to market and get 5%. And if you've got $1 million in the background, then there's your 50 grand a year and you're probably all right.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's like, it's not just a time to panic. It's actually for that end of the scale, it'd be quite a nice time.
Absolutely.
You know? So helping people understand all of these things, there's just tons of opportunity as we, you and I have been journeying on, is to get them into the digital experience and start understanding where they're at, providing the guardrails around where they're at on their financial journey, popping in some content contextually around this is a thing that's going on, and, you know, doing all those things. It's just tons.
Yeah.
Tons.
Actually, one of the most one of the most powerful tools we've ever used with clients is it's a pretty simple tool, but it just has their capital and how much they're drawing, and it's really useful when markets are falling, because they'll come in and say, look, I'm really worried about markets, and we'll say, look, here's your capital, you're spending X amount a year. This year, if the market does fall 5 or 10%, that means you might run out of money when you're 99 and a half rather than 101.
It's okay.
And you're probably not going to spend as much as you're spending today when you're 85 plus anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So don't worry about the 3% drop in the market last
month.
Yeah,
that's right.
But those little visuals, so that's what we're trying to create online.
Yeah, those little scenario models.
Actually, I'm going to be okay, because the media, you know, it obviously has a great value, but it also makes people worried and makes people think that they've got to change. Your example of the retirees, I mean, all the retirees at the moment are panicking, going, why are they worried? their future income has just gone up by 4%.
Doubled it.
Yeah, I mean, they've been living off, and so, I should be okay. It's really the 30-year-olds with the $2 million mortgage that are sort of stressed about now.
Sure.
But you're right, it's just having that context and having that access to that information.
Make a great point about the news. I mean, news thrives off doom, right? There's always been a story. Go back to what I said earlier on. It's not just about helping customers be better with their money, but this idea of getting them to feel better about their money.
Yeah.
And that's our kind of, I think that's the most important thing. Can we keep people feel good
Yeah.
I feel better, feel less anxious, feel more hopeful.
Yeah, and understand it and sort of know what really matters rather than what perhaps they're being told by sources that are trying to do them to do something that might not be in their best interest in. So there's so much going on and there's so much potential. I mean, the technology improvements we've seen and what Edison invented the light bulb in, 1870 or something.
Yeah.
And that was a huge shift in productivity. I mean, I've got some people working in this office here who can't remember that in their world they've only ever had smartphones because they came out of school and I explained to them when I was their age, we didn't even have mobiles, you know, and that's not that long ago. I mean, I'm not that old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, where's it going? I mean, I was talking to some people yesterday about open banking, AI, all this data now is actually starting to become real. Like you can potentially get, I can, if I accept a link, all my banking information on my super is on a page within a few seconds.
Which to me
it's just staggering that they can somehow reach out to all those banks and there's my snapshot.
Yeah.
Is that real? Is that something we should be doing? Or?
Yeah, look, so you know, I'm a data guy, so I think, you know, often about data and the power of data.
Yeah.
And, you know, you call out a couple of things, I think, which are, you know, certainly helping us see where it's going. First of all is this idea of APIs, application programming interfaces.
Yeah.
This is how we expose the systems, right? So this is how we connect things together.
What is that actually? How does that actually work? You've got an API between a bank and my computer or our Scientium software.
Yeah.
And that just shares that data. It seems to do it in a nanosecond, though.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Is that all it is? It's just a little.
Yeah. So what it is at a kind of coding level.
Hmm.
Is what we call a set of is a dictionary.
Right.
So just imagine that you and I can talk to each other.
Yeah.
We're able to do that because we have a common language set.
Yeah.
Right. And so what open banking and APIs do is they provide a common language set for computers to talk to each other. And in fact, they've always been this way, whether it was, you know, how we built HTTP. So HTTP stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, and HTTPS stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol Secure, HTML, Hypertext Markup Language, all of these things are a way of computers to talk to each other. And what we've been able to do is as we did with the internet, and the reason the internet was born is that we're able to create these language sets between computers, and we've just continued to, you know, be more advanced and more rich with those with the way that we describe, we build those dictionaries in front of computers so they can all talk to each other. And that's it. And so once I can do that, because I've got the internet and I've got broadband and we're rolling out, you know, fiber to the home, you know, see, and we've gone from fiber to the node to fiber to the premise. You know, that just increases the speed, and so we can talk to each other in milliseconds. And whether it's payment terminals, I mean, you think about when you tap your phone at a point of sale, you know, and then you're at the thing lights up and goes, you've just made a thing. I mean, it's super fast. And think about the number of cycles and places that needs to go. It bounces all around the world.
Yeah.
But the pipes, we just continue to increase the size of those pipes. And as we go optic, obviously, you know, that goes faster than through copper and, you know, all the things we're all familiar with. And that's the way we go. So I think just to go back to the question, though, is like, you know, where's it all going? I think it's data, APIs, and AI is clearly what we're doing. And a bit of crypto on the side.
Yeah.
Crypto's, you know, continue going to be a thing. You know, you know, all of the central governments will move to digital currencies, right? We've seen Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, carve the way. And, you know, we all know the issues around those that are, you know, assets that aren't, you know, secured on anything. And there's a whole lot of challenge with them. And they'll continue to be used in the places they're used, and that'll be fine. But, you know, we'll move to those. You know, we'll continue to digitize everything. All the bits of paper will be digitized, you know, and the currencies will all be digitized, and we'll use blockchain for some, and we'll use standard databases for others. And, you know, that'll be a thing. But, you know, the AI is amazing, right? And, you know, I was just listening to it. And I think in this space, the place I love AI is that you and I are having this conversation one-on-one, and you know, hopefully some of the audience will enjoy it. But imagine if everybody that was listening today was able to have a personalized conversation with you or I. So you're able to go to whoever was the great guy, Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
Imagine we were able to have a conversation with Warren Buffett all at the same time, one-on-one. Yeah. We can do that with AI, right? Because we can take all of Warren's knowledge stick it in a robot, and then have a one-to-one conversation with that robot. So you can take the conversation wherever you want to go and ask him the questions. And you can do that at scale. You could have 8 billion people having personal one-on-one conversations with Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
And that's where it's going.
Yeah. It's hard to sort of imagine, like, you know, when you sort of haven't quite seen it in reality. Yeah.
And that's why people are scared about AI, but, you know, it's amazing.
And the applications and how where that evolves, yeah.
That's cool. So, you know, we're all on this journey together, and it comes back to what you were saying. We're just trying to create more value for more people and give access to information. And for us, it's about how they understand money better, how they understand how markets work, what the truth is, I suppose, about money, rather than all the noise out there.
Yeah.
And bring them down to some fundamental things that can seem quite obvious but become very unobvious once people start searching around. I mean, if you search on the internet now, you know, who do you trust, you know? So it's really hard to know,
very
right? And therefore, people, you know, therefore don't trust it, or they get fearful, or they don't know where to go, or they end up doing nothing, you know?
Yeah, or they, you know, do what we say, you know, they have this confirmation bias, so they just go out to the internet looking for proof that they're doing the right thing, not actually doing proper objective research. Right? So, I mean, even the beginning of that search process is broken.
Yes.
Let alone the outcome, right? Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add about where we're going and where we're
going? No, I just think, thanks for the opportunity to work with you. It's been it's been a great year, I think. You know, I think this idea of scaling general advice is just bang on the money. You know, I think it really is. And, you know, you and I had a good couple of months where I kept looking at you going, is this a thing? Really, this is a thing?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the closer we got into it, you know, it really is. And I'm, you know, invested time and money and stuff as you did and getting this right, because it's an amazing thing. And I think, thanks for, you know, bringing us on, and good luck. Good work on the progress to date, and you know, any advisors in the channel, you know, make sure you pick up the phone and you know, talk to Nigel and have a look at what we've built at Scientium, because I think, you know, at least 15 million Australians out there that need better service.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I did a stack rank of the superannuation funds last week because I was just interested in having a look. Ethical Australia was the number one performing fund, 12 months to date, 23%.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of guys at the bottom in the red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough for Australians.
No, that's right. And even having to decipher some of that information, because it's not always that clear. If you're not in the industry, what does all that even mean? Because the best performing one year isn't necessarily the best performing next year.
Sure.
And all those sort of things. So it's trying to make that content and that information available to more people to be able to work it out and say what's right for them.
Yeah.
I didn't ask you, and I meant to, Moroku. What does Moroku actually stand for?
So we made it up. So it's a, you know, we coined the word.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't know what I was building for my company. I'm going to go and build this.
Yeah.
But there was just this idea that I, you know, I knew, you know, we were all coalescing around digital.
Yeah.
You know, like everything and everybody and every interaction was coalescing around digital. And so there was this notion that the way that it would happen is that these digital services would become increasingly tribalized. That is to say, we'd build things for tribes of people and we'd personalize and create things for those tribes.
Yeah.
And as a Kiwi, you know, our native language is Te Reo, which is Māori language. There's a word called piroku, which means the gathering.
Yeah.
So when tribes would come together, or this is a gathering, this is a piroku, any type of thing, is a gathering of people, is called a piroku. And I just think, so what's the new version of the gathering? It's the mobile gathering. So we took the P off piroku, replaced it with an MO for mobile, and that's Moroku.
Is it in the Oxford Dictionary yet?
No, but it is on the New South Wales investment website.
Good. Well, well done on your success. You've been winning some good awards. You're also doing some work in the youth sector as well, and developing, bringing kids and high school students through tech and coding.
Yeah, please, anyone that's got any children on the Northern Beaches, high school students, we've got our software engineering program kicking off in October, six weeks coding camp, Canberra engineers, everyone running that, so it'll be a great time. Come and learn about how to build stuff and Dave and the team. No, you've got to be year 9 or 10. And then
really cool,
2 weeks' time, we've got our first code camp for 11-year-olds kicking off. So, so just a first lab, it's a bit of a raw one, you know, just to kind of kick it off, and we'll be teaching the kids how to build some build some to do some robotics and some build some games as well.
How good.
At the house. So we're just gonna. So we got the high school student things kicked off, and now we're just starting to build the ones for the younger kids. So that the time they get to high school, they'll be red hot ready to go.
Yeah, good on you. And that's the thing. I mean, imagine what that generation is gonna look like if they have an understanding. Not all of them, obviously, they're going to be coders, but you know they've got a much better understanding of their age than we ever did.
Yeah,
you might have, but I didn't. So, Cole, thanks so much for your time. Yeah, it's time to go and get a pizza on the road.
Good.
And
lovely.
Cole, really appreciate it. And everyone dialing in, there's a bio, there's links if you want to get some advice around. I mean, who should contact you before we go? I mean, you don't want everyone just saying, I want a better website, but the sort of businesses should contact you are more people really trying to, if they're going to contact Maruku, really what are you
doing? Yeah, so we want to talk to financial services business owners.
Yeah.
They want to better serve their customers through digital and are serious about that.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, good.
Cheers. All right.
You've been listening to The Future Financial Advisor. So if you've been enjoying the show, please make sure to share it with your network and leave a review on your favorite listening platform. Or if you've got some ideas or thoughts or would like to come on as a guest or know someone who would be a great guest, then please let me know. To learn more about Scientium, just go to our website, scientium.com.au, or look me up on LinkedIn. Look forward to speaking with you and see you on the next episode.